Now, one of the fantastic opportunities we had in South Africa was to visit the collection of fossils at Witwatersrand University. Now, they house a collection of about 30% of the fossils found in Africa that tell us about how we evolved from ape-like creatures into modern humans. Professor Lee Berger took us through some of the highlights of the collection, piecing together 3 million years of evolution in the process. But one of the most interesting things that the fossil record reveals was that we went through a period of extreme gigantism, and these were people routinely over 7 foot tall. These were huge. And this was before we turned into the modern humans of today.
And that's huge even by our standards, not just by Ben's.
You've probably heard the myth that ancient humans were tiny, and some of them were tiny. But as we moved during this period of about 500,000 years down to about 300,000 years ago in Africa, we move into this sort of mystery period where there's just a tiny, tiny handful of fossils. But the ones we find from that are incredibly intriguing. By this time, you're going to begin seeing the origin of Neanderthals in Europe. Inside of Africa, they go through one of the most incredible things that we've only just begun to realize. That is, they go through a period of giantism. What I'm pulling out of this bag may shock you.
Whoa. What we're looking at is the most enormous femur, the bit that forms your hip joint. That's huge. I mean, as a doctor, I know how big they normally are. That's huge.
That is beyond huge. That's so big we can't even calculate how big this individual was. You would need sort of an NBA basketball player to get someone in the height that this probably would have been. Something like over 7 feet tall.
You don't think this person's just an abnormality?
No, because we found a lot of them. Everywhere we find them enormous. These are what we call often archaic Homo sapiens. Some people refer to them as Homo heidelbergensis, where you find them. But these individuals are extraordinary. They truly are giants.
Does it coincide with a time when there was enormous amounts of resources, lots of food, which meant they could afford a huge body size like that?
Actually, it might have been just the opposite. That is, it was a period where there were large amounts of grasslands evolving, and that there were lots of giants adapting to that grasslands in Africa. Giant buffalo with horns 3 meters across, if you can imagine that. And these individuals in that very rugged environment, that tough environment, seemingly were utilizing their body size to enforce themselves into what was a very, very dry and tough period.
So when would he have been around?
This particular individual existed probably about 350,000 to 400,000 years ago.
And how long did people with this giant stature exist for before they started to shrink again?
We have no idea, but what we do know is the next time we start getting a good window in, that is 150 to 100,000 years ago, we are here. People of our stature, our body size. So this experiment was relatively, in at least our terms, short-lived, a couple of 100,000 years.
So that was all happening about 300,000 years ago. But what about if we wind the clock back now to almost the very beginning, to the earliest human ancestors who walked around on two legs? These were the Australopithecines, and they emerged about 3 million years ago. The first ever example was unearthed by the famous paleoanthropologist Raymond Dart. In the early 1920s, he was working with his students in the Tung Limestone Works, which is in the Harz Valley in Bechuanaland, South Africa. And there, he discovered what turned out to be one of the most important fossils of all time.
This little brown box I'm opening up is the actual box that Raymond Dart had built back in 1925 to hold, arguably, the most important single human ancestor fossil on the planet. And you're about to join a really exclusive club of people who've actually seen and touched it. This is the one that defines what it is to be an early African ape man.
So how old is this? This is 3 million years old.
Well, this is about 2.5 million years old. We've actually largely dated it by comparing it to other fossils that have been found since. It is an awe-inspiring fossil, but it's remarkably still the only fossil that was ever found at the Tong site. The only one just happened to be this little child, which is the type specimen, the first fossil of an early human ever found in Africa. This started the entire science. In fact, you could even argue things like genetics and the study of our own origins via that came out of this fossil. Discovered at the Tong Lime Quarry, it was sent in a box full of baboons to Raymond Dart. And if it had arrived on almost anyone else's desk at that particular time, they might not have recognized it, because what he pulled out of that box, first thing he saw, pull out this little plastic bag, is that remarkable little thing, half an endocast of a brain of a little child. And immediately, Raymond Dart recognized that he wasn't holding a baboon brain in his hand. It wasn't the brain of even a chimpanzee. It was far too big. He was holding something that no one had ever seen before, what he probably would have used the term a missing link.
It's totally extraordinary. How does something so soft and blancmangey as brain actually get preserved?
Well, because it doesn't. That's not actually the brain. What that is a cast of the interior of the skull. Every time your heart beats, as your head is forming in a child, it beats an impression of the surface of your brain onto, effectively, the inside of your skull. When a skull ends up in these remarkable fossilization situations, there's a perfect impression, a perfect image of your brain on the inside of that skull. When it fills with sediments and fine sediments, we then have a perfect cast of the brain.
You can literally, looking at that from the side, see the three major parts of the brain. I can see what's going to be the cerebellum, the hindbrain at the back. There's the temporal lobe, which in us is adjacent to our ear. And then the frontal lobes, where, you know, I do thinking and planning. I don't know whether this would have done much planning and thinking, but that's an incredible fossil.
That is. It is one of the most remarkable fossils in and of itself that you'll ever see, even down to look at the veins on the surface. The blood supply to the brain is actually preserved on the surface of that. And when Raymond Dart turned this little thing over, just like I'm doing right now, and looked down, he saw that was not a rearward-facing point of attachment between this skull and the spinal cord. It was vertically positioned.
And that says it's not ape-like, that's Homo.
I walk on two legs. That's what it spoke to him as clearly as if it were written on the fossil itself. And if that had been all he found, it would have been fantastic. But it wasn't all he found. Because inside of another block, he saw this little mushroom-shaped attachment. And in it, he saw the back of a mushroom-shaped...
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I just got a glimpse of what's going to come out of this bag.
He took his wife's knitting needles, and he started chipping away at it. And on December the 21st, 1924, that rock broke away, and he saw that.
It's a face. I'm looking at a face. It's phenomenal.
You're looking at maybe the most famous face in all of paleontology. The
it's
face
also perfect.
It's absolutely perfect because it doesn't have just the top. It has the bottom.
You have a jaw and a face to go with it. It's still quite monkey-like, though, isn't it?
A little bit. It doesn't have quite the prognathism that a young monkey would have, and what it certainly doesn't have is a big canine. So we're going back to something that's transitional. It's a bit of the way between us and them. It's our link. This little child met a tragic end at about 3.5 years of age. And now I'll do something for you. I'll put it all together. The whole Tong child reunited after being 2.5 million years in the ground.
I think that probably is the most awe-inspiring experience, or one of them, I've ever had.
It should be. Because it's about us. It's our experience. You want to touch it?
Go on, then. So if I touch this, how many other people probably will have had the opportunity, apart from obviously the great Raymond Dart himself, to have done that?
No more than a few hundred scientists and a few dozen people who aren't scientists.
That is absolutely incredible. To say I'm blown away would be an understatement, actually.
That's good.
It's when I saw the face staring out at me through that plastic bag. It's almost moving you to tears, in fact. It's just so incredible and delicate and perfect.
Yep, and 2.5 million years old, and it's our story.
The emotions were running quite high in that room, and it was such an honour to see that. But if you're wondering what happened to that child, it was actually snatched away and killed by an eagle. The fossilised bones of the skull have preserved the scratches from the bird's talons. They compared it to baboons, and they can see that that's what it was. And that was Professor Lieberger showing us some of the most important human ancestor fossils ever found. We had to pick just a couple of highlights for you this week, but we will be releasing an enhanced podcast soon, complete with pictures and the whole 3 million year history.
And that'll be on our website, which is nakedscientists.com.
Fancy listening to the Naked Scientists in your bed, on your way to work, or even at work? Mm-hmm. Why not subscribe to our podcast? For more information, visit nakedscientists.com/podcast.
It's the Naked Scientists with Chris, Dave and Ben. It's our South Africa Science Special this week. That was an amazing story. In a second, we're returning to Question of the Week, and also still to come is Kitchen Science, with Ben throwing his voice 50 metres.